Praise everyone. Be glad to be in the house of the Lord. There's a scripture that just came to mind. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Let us go. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You get refreshed. You get renewed, strengthened. Amen. Just a couple announcements. Wednesday night, all men, ladies, we are going to have a work night. We are getting ready for the group that's coming in a couple weeks. All the men that are available that come, bring some tools. You're going to be working on the outside of the church, trimming up some stuff in the bushes. Women, we need our kitchen and fellowship hall cleaned. So we'll be in there. Cindy, Miss Cindy, and Mimsy, and Beth will be in the sanctuary praying for all of us. Amen. They're the mothers of the house. Amen. So they're going to be in the sanctuary praying. So if you are unable to work, you can join these women in the sanctuary. But if you're able to work, listen, 1 hour, just your time, and we'll get it done, right? And then the month of August, no PowerFit classes. We took a break because the busyness of summer. But get ready. Amen. In September, we're going to have a kickoff, and it's going to be in the evening, and I implore you to all come. Hallelujah. Men and women are invited. So, and then the group is coming in on the 21st, Saturday the 21st, Extreme Tour. Amen. You don't want to miss it. You're getting ready. You know what they're about. Amen. They're going to be in our community ministering to the young people and just sharing the testimonies. Amen. So we, as a church, maybe we'll be feeding them, housing them. They're going to be staying here overnight. So come meet them that week. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Did you come to worship church? Did you come to glorify his holy name? Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just lift up our hearts to you tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we can come to a house. And, Father, leave all our burdens at your throne. Hallelujah. Leave them all here, Lord God. And we do not pick them up again, Lord God, but we will hear a word that is from our pastor that you have put in his heart tonight, Lord God. And we just thank you for that word. May we take it within our hearts, Lord God, that it can bring healing, Lord God, that it can bring change, Lord Jesus, that it can just nurture our hearts, Lord God, and be who we are called to be. We thank you for this church, Lord God. We thank you for the body of Christ, Lord God. And we just ask, Lord God, that you just be with our service tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen.
And the word of the Lord is yes and amen.
Yes.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late, working all things out, working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high.
Oh, yes, I will. I count on
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. But you know, folks, that Judah goes before the war.
Thank you.
We are in the war. And Judah shall lead the praise. So let your praises roll tonight. Let your praises roll.
Lord of all creation, water, earth and sky,
the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are
tonight.
you were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High, hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Too great your love's greater. What can separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, thy King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Oh yeah. Hallelujah.
Death could not hold you. You will go before you. You silenced the boast of sin.
Forgiven.
because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Forgiven because you were forsaken.
Oh, yeah.
I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. Keep without me.
Yeah.
Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Thank you, Jesus. God, Lord, we surrender, hallelujah, to your Lordship, God, hallelujah. God, Lord, we surrender. God, Lord, we surrender. We lay aside, God, hallelujah, all that we have, whatever that might be, our crowns, dear God, Lord, we lay aside everything and declare tonight, dear God, Lord, God, above every problem, that you're King, God, hallelujah. God, Lord, that you go before us, God, Lord, and you make a way where there's no way. God, Lord, we stand in all that you are, God, Lord, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, God. And we surrender, God. I surrender. I wave my white flag, hallelujah, and surrender to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout to God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Is he not the King of kings? Hallelujah. He's the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Come on, shout to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Good to have everybody. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, tell someone God's good. Tell someone else God's good. Tell someone else he's better than you think he is. Come on, make eye contact with somebody. Tell them God is good. Amen, hallelujah. I'm making eye contact. God is good, amen. He is good. He is good, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Got some glasses here. You know, I was in worship, I began to think about something. I began to think about this right here. I want you to hear this. I think this is powerful. The Lord has been ministering something to me, and it kind of came together today. It didn't make sense at first. I wasn't sure what God was trying to say something. But here's what he said. He says, I want you to get your arsenal ready. Because your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. We have spiritual weapons. And I said, well, God, Lord, what do you mean? He says, well, listen. Whatever battle you ever go into, whenever you're called to battle, we are the army of the Lord. And listen, I want you to know there's some things that come against us that are strong, but I'm here to tell you, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling them down. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I got mighty weapons. But you got to tell your neighbor, I need to know how to use them. I got to know how to use the weapons for the right moment. I got to use the weapons. Hear me tonight. I really feel this because sometimes the Bible says that even sometimes there's prayer that I got to pray. There's moments where that I got to get in that place of space. That to me reminds me of a sniper's gun. It's just silence, man. Shoop. Takes care of business, whatever it needs to take care of. Come on, amen. You sometimes it's so far away, you don't know if it got done what it needed to get done. But I'm here to tell you, your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Sometimes it's our worship and praise. Sometimes, I'm here to tell you tonight, you got to get a little loud. Sometimes you got to whip a grenade. Sometimes it takes a grenade, because the Bible says, shout unto the Lord. I said, shout unto God. See, God began to declare something. Our praise is weapons. It's a weapon that we need to worship. But we need to, sometimes you need to get in your prayer closet and tell your neighbor, shut the door. And begin to worship and begin to shout unto God. Sometimes it's quiet. The Bible says, make a loud noise. You know why? Here's why. Because sometimes the noise of our enemy is really loud. And God says, I want you to get louder. I'm here. Come on, I want you to get louder. Hallelujah. I want you to be, come on, like the oceans that roar, he said. Sometimes you gotta roar. Come on, amen. Sometimes you gotta roar. Sometimes you gotta clap your hands like the ocean. Clap is how to, the oceans in all creation shows us how to worship. Come on, amen. The trees clap their hands. They declare and shout unto God. Sometimes you gotta begin to practice and use your weapons. Sometimes it's alone time. Sometimes it's those moments I'm driving in my car and I'm shouting to God while I'm driving down the road. Someone might look at me and think I'm crazy. But this ain't about you. Come on, this ain't about you. Come on, you mind your business, I mind my business. I'm worshiping God right here. You might think I'm crazy, but my weapons are not carnal. They're mighty. Pull your weapons out. Begin practice using your weapons, whether it's speaking in tongues. The Bible says that it edifies you, builds you up. Sometimes you need build up. Come on, sometimes it's prayer, sometimes it's worship. Begin to use your weapons, begin to know your weapons, begin to build up your arsenal. Get your ammo. Tell your neighbor, get your ammo. Begin to get some scriptures that penetrate darkness. Get a word from God that breaks down walls. Begin to stand upon a word. Hallelujah. Begin to shoot weapons that are not carnal, that begin to penetrate areas of people's lives that have been locked up, broken and hurt. God sees some army. I want some warriors. I want some warriors to pray. I want some worshipers to stand. Sometimes you stand there and you're worshiping. You don't understand why you're jumping up and excited and you're running around. But I want you to know, maybe you're breaking the joy, hallelujah, in someone's life. Maybe you're breaking out, hallelujah. Maybe you're loosening somebody that has been in oppression, that's been bound, that's been in a trap. But your worship and praise is not carnal, hallelujah. But it's mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. That's what I heard the Lord said. Get your ammo ready. Begin to load up. Load up. Get some scriptures together. Come on, amen. Get some. Fire them off, man. Going to build your heart. If you don't know them, get a list of them and just read them as you're driving down the road. Well, maybe. I need to stop first. Read them before you walk out your house, before you start your day. Sometimes the guys come up, or they'll come up my truck and, what are you doing? Getting my weapons loaded up. I get out of this truck. Come on, amen. Sometimes my wife will sit there. She, half hour, 45 minutes sitting in my truck, loading up my weapons. My weapons are not carnal. Building myself up in the spirit. Come on, amen. I don't want enemy fire to come into the house. Come on, hear me tonight. I don't want to shoot against my
the ones that are fighting with me, come on, with a bad attitude of the day. The burdens of the day get on me, so we need to shake it off. Come on, amen. I need to let the Spirit of God begin to move in my heart. Amen. Let God arise and His enemies will scatter as I enter into the house. We'll enter His gates with praise. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. Listen, I hear this too. I thought that today was a... I was telling Liddell this, that today... I thought, what's special about today? Because God was really speaking to my heart. There's been people that have been in church that have been wounded. But it's not time to put your weapons away. Here's what God showed me today. Today, George Washington declared and initiated the Purple Heart. Today. See, I felt like something special about today. What is it? And that's what it came up. It was a Purple Heart. Purple Heart is when somebody's wounded in warfare, dedicating themselves. You might have been wounded and hurt, but I'm here to tell you, listen, go back and get your armor on. Hallelujah. Go get your weapons of warfare, because they're not carnal. Hallelujah. You're a mighty man and woman of God. Lift up your name. Lift up the name of the Lord. Begin to worship God. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to shout a little louder than the voices in your head. Can I be real? Come on, amen. Sometimes the voices are loud, and I got to get my praise, the volume of praise and worship, louder than anything else that's going on around me. Hallelujah. I got to get my shout, hallelujah, to begin to shake me up, hallelujah, to cause me to get up when I don't feel like it. I'm here to tell you that it was David that encouraged himself in front of the Lord. Even though his enemies were coming against him, he began to build up himself in the Lord. So I'm building myself up. Are you going to build yourself up with me? Come on, amen. You're going to build yourself up with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Start using your spiritual weapons. That's not the name of the sermon. The name of the sermon is traps. Come on, you can kill that. Say traps. I began to look in Matthew 11:23. It says this, come unto me. Say, come unto me. That's everybody. He covers a large quantity of every one of us. Come unto me. Hallelujah. And he declares this. I want you to check this out, though, because he's in church, for one thing. And he said, come unto me, all those that are heavy laden. And he says, let me chill for a second. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will... And I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's cover some ground for a second, okay? Because I want you to know, I've never been in a moment of time where I've seen so many people so heavy laden. Heavy laden. Now, that heavy laden means oppressed. Burdened with cares. When you're heavy laden, that means you're carrying some things that, I want you to know, this is what we do. We begin to carry some things. We talked about it last week, that's something that we do. I don't know if I talked about last week or I talked Wednesday. I don't remember. But I talked about how that we begin to accumulate things in the world. We begin to accumulate things, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's hatred, whether it's anger, whatever that might be, we begin to accumulate some things. But in the kingdom of God, it's not that way. Because listen, I want you to see this. He said, but I want to give you rest. I want to give you rest. So sometimes I want you to know, when we begin to feel heavy laden, there's something missing here. It doesn't mean that things, we don't face things and things go around us. But listen, I want you to know that the Bible says that we need to enter into His rest. He says, I'm going to give you rest. And rest means ease. Say ease. Ease.
ease. Come on. Tell someone it's easy. You ain't living my life. It's easy. See, sometimes everything within me says, yeah, but you know, this is the hard, this is the, what am I doing wrong? Listen, listen. I want you to see something. I want us to catch something. I want us to pay attention because we, every one of us, to know that, listen, our weapons are not carnal. We got to know that when we're not in ease, what's the opposite is disease. Say disease. Disease. See, I wanted you to get something because, listen, if you are going to be yoked to something, you will be. And it's either him or something else. Say something else. And that can be anger. That could be unforgiveness. It could be worry. It could be anger. It could be addiction. Whatever it might be. Come on, amen. But you're going to be burdened. Or you're going to be yoked to something. Hallelujah. He says, but Jesus declares, he says, I want you to take from me my yoke. Be yoked to me. Hallelujah. Be connected to me. That we need to learn from him. The Bible says this. He says, take my yoke because it's easy. Hallelujah. It interrupts and impairs. That's what disease does. It interrupts and impairs. He says, take my yoke, my word upon you, my word, and learn from me. He says, so I want you to do this. I want you to begin to take be yoked to my word. Be connected. Sometimes we feel like we're so uneasy because, listen, I'm sitting outside of God's word somewhere, somehow in my life, and I got to get back in it because God's word says that you are in ease in him. You're at rest in him. So I'm carrying something I'm not meant to carry, and I got to let God deal with it. I got to begin to hand it over to God and not carry it anymore because I'm not meant to be that way. Either that or God's word's not truthful. He says, come unto me and find rest. So we find rest in his words. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30, it says this. Let me look here real quick. You okay? Let me just give you a couple things. You all right? I'm going to give you a couple traps, just three traps. We'll get through one of them. Don't laugh. I know what you're thinking. See? Deuteronomy 30. Let me find it real quick here. All right. He says this. Listen. Let me go up to verse 9. And the Lord God will make you plenteous in every work of thine hand. He says, and in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of the land, for God, for good, for the Lord. And will again rejoice over you for good. Say good. There's a lot of good going on. Amen. He says, and he rejoiced over the fathers. And if thou hearken unto thy voice of the Lord, keep his commandments, keep his word. Amen. And he says, and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord, say, I'm going to turn to the Lord. He says, and I'm going to get rest. I'm going to be out of dis-ease and get into ease. He says, and God will all thine heart and with all thy soul, for the word, the commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far away. And let me make it plain. Ready? It's not hard, he's saying. He says, this is easy. He says, it's not hidden. It's not somewhere you can't find it. Hallelujah. But it is easy. See, it's meant to be easy. Jesus took care of all the hard stuff. He took it out of the way, like we talked about last week, amen. He took it out of the way. He moved things out of my way so that I could step into his rest. I don't know about you, but when I'm resting, I'm at ease. What does rest look like to you? So he says this, and if thou is not, he says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven or bring it down to us that we might hear it and do it. He said, neither is it beyond the sea that thou sayest. It's like not playing hide and go seek with me. He says, who shall go over to sea? He says, hear it or do it. But the word, say the word, is very nigh unto thy mouth. It is in your heart, and in thine heart it's in your mouth that thou mayest do it.
Say, it's in me. It's in me. Listen, but we got to understand that sometimes I'm yoked to something, whatever that might be. And I need to be yoked to Him. I need to be connected to Him. I need to walk in what He has for me today. All of His Word, what He declares, and not get out of it. Say, don't get out of it. Come on, tell someone else, don't get out of it. Listen, because if not, you won't be in ease. And He says, for my yoke is easy, ease, and my burden is light. My burden is light. L-I-G-H-T. When I experience darkness, that means that I'm in dark, that I'm not experiencing light. So I want you to catch this. I want you to see this. Whenever I am believing something that's not truth, darkness overshadows me. I become burdensome. I begin to believe something that's not true about me or about you or about you, what God has already done for one another, what He's already done for us, and I don't come in agreement. I begin to step outside of light. I need to get back. I need to be overflooded with light. Come on, with God's Word. All right. Listen. Don't live outside the Word. We cannot live outside of God's Word. We can't. We can't. Listen, we want victory. We cannot live outside of His Word. If you want to walk in victory, we got to stay in God's Word. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. That is our protection. We need to abide in it. We're protected by it. Hallelujah. It surrounds us. It delivers us. It sets us free. It's God's Word. Amen? All right. So here's the traps. Tell your neighbor, here's the traps. Number one. Let's look at Luke. Luke 17. No, this ain't the first trap. I'm going to explain to you what a trap is first. Then He said unto the disciples, it is possible. It is impossible. Say it's impossible. But that offenses will come. Come on, tell somebody they will come. They will come. Offenses come. That means they're traps. And that word, offenses means scandalous. That's where we get the word scandal. See, a trap is something that's set that if you don't pay attention, you get caught in that. The Bible says in Psalms 91, it says that the snare of the fowler, how does it say it? They're caught in the snare. He will release us from the snare of the fire. That means you already got caught in it. I don't care if you've already been caught in a trap, that some of these, there might be traps that you might have got caught in. I'm here to tell you, God will deliver you from whatever trap that might be. He will deliver you from that trap. That's who He is. He's looking to deliver you, to set you free. Because guess what? Offenses come. Traps occur. But we got to know where they are. We got to pay attention. We cannot be ignorant. We cannot be ignorant. Hallelujah. Of any scandal that the enemy wants. Amen. He says, 2 Corinthians. Let me read this for you real quick. I just want to give you a couple scriptures. Are you all right?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 2:11. I think. Oh, yeah. He says, talking about forgiveness. He says, unless Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Can you say traps? There's two things that we have to pay attention to. That we're not ignorant and we're not negligent. As children of a God, we cannot be ignorant. Say ignorant. And negligent. We cannot be ignorant of God's word or negligent of it. But we got to take hold of it. Abide in it. Amen. So he says this. He says, Psalms 91:3. That's the one. That's a scripture about the snare. But I wanted to give that to you. I want you to take hold of these. Let me give you the rest. Okay. He says, will come unto you whom they come. It is better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and he cast under the sea than he that should offend one of these little ones. Be careful. Luke 19, let's check this out. So here it is, Luke 19. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And he was a chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press, because he was little stature. And he ran, and he climbed a sycamore tree, for he was to pass by that day. And he says, and Jesus came to that place, and he looked up, and he saw him. Now listen, I want you to see this. Now, there's something in motion right now that God's bringing him to this place, that God, whatever is, this man has been heavy laden, but God wants to bring him into a rest. I want you to see that just how the scripture flows, and it shows us how that we need to stay in the word. I want you to see right here, we got to see where the traps are sometimes, because there's traps and we cannot be ignorant of them. Jesus says, they'll come. Offenses. Traps. Don't be ignorant. Listen. And he says, and Zacchaeus, make haste, he said. This is the word of Jesus. Say, it's the word. He said, make haste. Come quick. Don't get deterred. Don't get distracted. Don't lose sight of my word. He said, because today, say today, not tomorrow, not some other day, today I want to abide in your house. Stay in the word. Listen, listen. Stay in the word. Tell your neighbor, stay in the word. He says, and he made haste and he came down. Here he is. He's staying in the word. Amen. He's flown in the word. He says, and he received him joyfully. I want you to remember, we got to walk. As we're walking with God, he is with me. We're not alone. But offenses do come. Here they are. Say, here's the trap. Here's the trap. And this first trap is this. It's complaining and murmuring. Say, it's a trap. Now, Zacchaeus is coming across here, and all of a sudden, here's the trap. It's right in the scripture. It's showing, here's this trap right here. And this is what happened. He said, don't make haste. Come immediately. Come, I want to abide in your house. Meet me in your house. He says, and when they saw it, all them murmured. They began to murmur. Do you know what murmuring is? It's a low... See, when I hear guys murmur, I know they're upset with what I'm telling them to do, and they murmur. You can't hardly identify with what they're saying. They want to say something, but they're not bold enough to say it out loud. So they'll... What did you say? See, I'll catch my daughter sometimes. She'll murmur as she's walking away. Murmured before, you probably murmured with me. Because you might not agree with what the way I wanted something done, or this or that. And you went, oh my goodness. Tell your neighbor it's a trap. He said, because listen, we need to speak the truth. If it's not truth, don't speak it. If it don't, you need to declare it. Amen. We need to speak what's truth. And he says, so here it is. And they began to murmur. And he said, he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They were focusing on who he was as a sinner and this place here. But Jesus says, come here. The distraction of the murmuring, saying, what are they trying to say? They're trying to identify what someone else is saying. That's not Jesus. We got to get and turn the volume down of the murmurers and the complainers. Come on. And it might be you. You need to turn the complaining down. You need to put it on silence. Because you got an assignment. He said, because today, would you rather murmur? Come on, sometimes our problems get so big. And I'll be honest with you, there's something satisfying in the flesh. It don't last long. But to complain, it don't do any good, trust me. Listen, murmur and complaint, half suppressed. Wow. Philippians 2:13. I want you to catch this. Because I want to give you these scriptures. You okay? Come on. Philippians 2. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Say, work it out. I want you to catch this. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do you know the enemy is working just as hard to use you? You know what the enemy uses? Murmuring and complaining. To distract what God has spoken. Tell your neighbor it only distracts you to murmur and complain. It only distracts you. It might feel like the truth to you. It might feel like a fact to you, but is it the truth? Listen. And he says, with fear and trembling, for it worketh in you both to will and to do the good pleasure. Do all things. This is the next verse. So we need to let salvation work out of us. Amen? See, Zacchaeus was moving and he was letting the Word of God work out his life. He wasn't paying attention to those that were murmuring because he ended up showing up on time. Do you hear this? Listen. So he wasn't paying attention to those other ones saying things about him, trying to distract him. There's a lot of things out there, misinformation, to distract you from what God's saying. And it might be things around you, your circumstances, they're liars, hallelujah. Those things around us, whether maybe it's what a negative report or whatever that might be. Come on, amen. We got to stay on track. Don't begin to complain. Don't say, why oh me? I can't believe this is happening. I don't understand this thing. Those are real questions, but I'm telling you, it's a trap. I've been in it. He says, so listen, so let it work out of you, salvation work out of you. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Don't let murmuring and disputing work out of you. But let salvation work out of you. You need to do it without murmuring and complaining. Let salvation work out of your life. Listen to this. Something, you will let something work out of you. I promise you. Something will work out of your lives, either for salvation or complaining. It's a trap. Come on, amen. And he said this. So he says, and Zacchaeus stood. Now, I love this because, listen, if you take out verse 7, it reads like this. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. If you take out verse 7, if you take the trap out, he says, and behold the Lord. He says, this is the salvation working out of his life. Am I making sense? This is salvation working out of him. He let it work out of him because he could have stopped and said, yeah, you know what? These people are right. I'm a dork. I'm horrible. I'm not a good person. They're right. Come on. I'll never, ever achieve. But he didn't believe that. He stepped over verse 7, stepped into verse 8, and salvation came to his house and worked out of his life. Here's how it worked out. He says, everything. He says, forgive me. He says, I give. Listen, what did he say? Let's make it right. He says, and Lord, half of my goods. This is salvation working out of him. This is the Word of God working out of his life, not murmuring and complaining. Sometimes we wonder why things aren't working out. We got to get our, what are we saying? What am I saying? What am I declaring? And he says, give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man, false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Salvation was working out. Say it's working out of him. Wow. He responded in love. And Jesus said this. This day, salvation has come to the house. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He's restoring. Amen? He's restoring. You've been in a trap, but I've come to release you. I've come to let you out. Say, that's good news. All those that are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Let salvation work out of your lives every day. Check this out. Let me just give you this scripture. This is good. Psalms 106. Because I like this. If we don't get through these, that's okay. Is that all right? Psalms 106. I just caught this and I began to... This really jumped out at me. Psalms 106, 24. And it says, and yea, I despise the pleasant land, and they believe not his word. This is the children of Israel. He said, and they did not believe his word. He says, but they murmured. Not even to my face, they murmured in their tents. How long is he going to keep me out here in this wilderness all by myself? It stinks. It smells. This is horrible. We get this bread that we take one bite and it satisfied all our needs. Literally, they would take one bite of this and they'd be full. Manna. But they weren't satisfied. They began to complain about it. Maybe because they were hot. Maybe because it was this or that. And he said this. He says, this is what murmuring does. He says, and therefore they lifted up their hands against them to overflow them. The Lord lifted up against to overflow them. Their seed was also among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves. Listen, they joined themselves also unto Baal Perot. Not Ross Perot. Baal Perot. Say Baal Perot. And they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Now, I really caught this because that word means this. Are you ready? It means, Baal Perot means Lord of the wide openings. Catch this. It entered in, they began to worship a God called the wide open. Their mouth got them in this trouble. And it opened up them to things that were not of God. And they were eating of them. Tell your neighbor, shut the door. Tell someone else, shut the door. Come on, we got to shut the door. Come on, the Bible says to enter into your prayer closet and... It says to enter into your prayer closet in what? The door. Listen, we got to shut the door. We got to enter into a place of intimacy. You might be getting mad. There's sometimes, can I let you know a secret? Sometimes I don't like the way things are going, brother. So I go to the source of the answer. I go in my room. I show my wife. I'll go in the door and I'll shut the door. And I'll get before God. I'll say, God, I don't like this. I don't like the response. I don't like the way things are going right now. And I begin to talk to God. And I begin to worship God. And all of a sudden, God begins to move my heart. I get it off my chest. And by the time I leave the room, I ain't heavy laden no more. Because if you begin to hold on to those things, you begin to murmur. You begin to complain. Carry a bad attitude. All right. You okay? Number two, John 13. What time is it? 7:30? Okay. Just a minute. Let me get John 13. You ready? I had six and I went down to three. So this is in the scripture. We got to stay in the word. This is trap is a trap here. And here's the trap. And the trap is this. It is betrayal and offense. Betrayal. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you have been betrayed? Every one of us sometimes, here's why. Listen, when you walk with God, you're to love unconditional. And when you love unconditional, your heart's wide open for betrayal. But He's the one that guards my heart. He's the one that heals my heart. Listen, here's the thing. He says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them. You ready? Well, how long did He love them? Unto the end. Now, here's the trap. Jesus shows us how to respond to the trap. See, because here's the thing. I want you to see something. Here comes an opportunity to love unconditionally. At this moment, if you know that this person is about ready to betray you, how do I respond? Do I see myself caught in a trap? Because, my goodness, if I know you're going to betray me tomorrow, I'm going to set myself up not to get hurt. Not Jesus. So in the middle of this scripture, He just begins to declare something, this unconditional love, this opportunity steps in, and He declares this. He says, unto the end, verse 2, say verse 2. And the supper ended, the devil. What is He doing there? He's looking for an opportunity to trip whoever he can. He says, having not put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. At that moment. See, you know what really wrecks me too? Is you got to be on guard. Because this was the moment where they're about ready to take hold of communion with Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you got to guard your heart. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Like never before. Because he knows this is his last days. He wants to do everything he can to throw a trap in. So right in the middle of this moment right here, he's about ready to wash his feet. And he puts into his heart to betray him. But this is how Jesus deals with betrayal. Come on, I want you to see this. This is victory. Say it's victory.
Victory.
Say verse 3. So if we could just step right over that scripture, this is how Jesus dealt with it. He says, He loved them unto the end, verse 3. Jesus knowing that the Father, how did He overcome betrayal? He knew that the Father had given Him all things into His hands. And that He was from God, come from God, and was going to God. He knew who He was. And where He was going. His heart was in the hand of the Father. Not in Judas's. Listen. Our hearts get broken, so sometimes we put our hearts in that person and not in God. But Jesus says He put His heart in the Father. He says, I know who I am and I know where I'm growing. Doesn't matter what you do to me. He shows us how to deal with betrayal. You know what we do? We build walls up. See, when that happens, we'll say, well, fine, I'll never trust again. See, that's a trap. Tell someone that's a trap. See, the enemy wants you to stop loving unconditionally. He wants you to stop. He wants you to stop being at a place where that you're not seeking your own. Listen, He wants you to be at a place where that's all you're doing is seeking your own. You're protecting yourself. That you got all the guards up. See, when they have a fortress where there's a fortress, in Psalms it says that a man who's offended and hurt is like his heart coming back. It's like a person that has living in a fortress with bars on the windows that you cannot hardly get through when they've been offended. I don't know what it is, but there's some things that we got to give our hearts to God, that we carry, that we need to turn it over to God, because it's like that fortress. And do you know what they do with fortresses? The only thing in is what they allow. And sometimes walls are good. Trust me, I know walls are good, but in this case, they're not good, because what it was doing is you let in whatever, and they used to let in only like those people that had all their taxes paid up. If you didn't, you couldn't get in. Doors were shut. If you're any type of threat, they couldn't get in. If you had any sickness, you couldn't get in. Completely barred up, not able to even get in. That's what we do with our lives. If I know that this person is going to hurt me, or if I know this or that, that I bar myself out and I let nobody else in. We live our lives that way. Building walls. And they become prisons. Because of what offenses. Amen? All right. Let me finish. I hope you catch this. We only open up to those who believe that are with us. Guys, listen. That seems logical. Isn't it? I mean, I'm being real, because when I hear that with my ears, it sounds logical. Yeah, you don't let in somebody that you know. But no, see, Jesus, that's not the kingdom language. That's not heavenly language. That says love your enemies. Love those who use you. See, I'm the one that guards your heart. I'm the one. See, Jesus, at that moment, thank God that Jesus didn't respond the way that I would respond. Because he went to the cross. He loved them to the end. We betrayed him. But yet he went anyways. That's love. And you know what never fails? Love. Never fails. God says there's saints that have went before that have been hurt and been broken by people. God says, I want you to know that God sees your tears. He hurts. He knows your feelings. He knows what you've been through. And what we do is we turn back and give God a heart. Not that moment, not things, the moment you were betrayed, but we turn to God, the Father, and remind ourselves who we are in Him. Amen? Those things come. What happens is you begin to take in life, but you don't let life out. See, at those moments, what happens is Jesus had the opportunity at that moment when he knew he betrayed him to enter into unforgiveness, to enter into bitterness. But if you do that, you enter into heavy laden. I know this. Sometimes it sounds hard. It seems tough, but it's easier said than done sometimes. But we're protected by His Word. We believe what God says. Amen? Would you stand on your feet? I didn't have time to get into this whole thing, but the last one is busyness. Sometimes things, life becomes so busy that we let cares, we let worries, we let those things weigh us down. But the Bible says to cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Now Jesus came, he says, and he went and entered into the certain place, a woman named Martha. She received him into the house, just like we receive the word. But we got to pay attention. The Bible says that also in the scriptures in Matthew, it says that that word, that it was in the cares of the world, choked that word, choked that seed, the cares. Sometimes we let so many things wear us down,
cares and worries and all these things. And God says, listen, I want you to cast them upon me. Sometimes it's a matter of repenting, continually saying, God, Lord, forgive me, God, Lord, that I'm letting this thing, I'm getting out of ease. There's so many times there's things that literally that are in this world and they come on us physically, diseases because of worry, because of anxiety, because of emotional problems. And Jesus says, I care for you. Do you know what? There's a trap right there. Because we don't believe always that He cares for us. If you carry the cares around long enough, we'll be like Martha. And Martha said this, don't you care? Because the weight of her cares caused her to become heavy and diseased in her thinking that God didn't care. But Jesus says, Martha, you chose the wrong thing. It's one thing. It's me. You chose the wrong thing. There are so many things that we choose that make us busy. I want us everyone to know, don't get trapped. But take hold of the one thing. His name is Jesus. That one thing that gives you ease, that gives you rest, His name is Jesus. To walk in that. To take hold of that. So every one of us, we pay attention, we stay in the Word, that we take hold of it, we guard our hearts. Heavenly Father, I just declare this Word to God that, God, Lord, that we're not ignorant, that we're not negligent, but we take hold of Your Word. God, Lord, that we reach on, we hold on to You with everything. We don't let offenses, we don't let fears, we don't let doubts. But God, Lord, that we enter into a place of intimacy with You and we shut the door. And let our focus be on You, God. That whatever comes our way, no matter what it is, God, Lord, that we stand in You. Abiding in Your Word. In Your Word, abiding in us. Let us not get out of it. Stay. Stay. Sure-footed, agreeing with Your Word. Lord, I thank You. I pray right now, Father God. I thank You for Your healing touch on those, God, Lord, this week, God, Lord, that with Randy. I thank You. I thank You for Paula, God. I thank You for the answered prayers, God. Lord, I rejoice in it, God. I rejoice that You've touched them, God. You're touching their bodies right now. Continue to touch each and every one of them. Father, we give You the glory. We give You the praise. We'll declare with all of our hearts that we are in highly favored. God's knocking. Open up. Let Him in. Amen. Love you guys.